Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
Freshman orientation at Purdue on Saturday as the young Boilermakers not only beat Maryland but dominated, winning 40-14 on homecoming. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Deanhart here as well. We'll bring Brian Newbert in just a couple of minutes to get his perspective on the game and football recruiting, which picked up a couple of commitments over the weekend. But let's start with Tom and the football game. Boilermakers get a win, move to 2-4 on the season as the first half comes to an end. It was a pretty good day for freshmen, Tom, on Saturday. David Bell, King Daru, Milton Wright, Jack Plummer, Corey Trice, to name a few of those guys, all having huge impacts for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, big. Like you said, freshman orientation, youth is being served a heaping helping of opportunity here, not just sadly, Kyle, but throughout, you know, the first half of 2019 season. And it's been out of really necessity, as we all know, the litany of injuries suffered by Purdue, especially, Kyle, those upperclassmen, fifth-year senior guys like Sindelar, Marcus Bailey, Lorenzo Neal, Tario Fuller, Richie Worship. So, again, these young guys, a lot of them have been forced into action prematurely. But like you said, Saturday especially, a lot of them stepped up and got Purdue back on the winning track.
It was a good sign, too, that, you know, Purdue had a couple more injuries on game day, at least were announced on game day, and, you know, went even deeper down the depth chart a little bit. We saw Cully Saunders, for instance. We saw a little bit more of Jeff Marks. Jalen Alexander got a start at linebacker. So not only those, you know, headlining type of freshmen and redshirt freshmen, but a couple of other guys, you know, Sam Garvin, who's an underclassman, you know, gets out there and starts at center. A couple of new guys who were underclassmen on the offensive line. So, you know, it's not just the David Bells and Jack Plummers and Milton Wrights, but, you know, also sort of that second wave of underclassmen who played pretty big roles as well.
Yeah, no, now you talked about the O-line in particular. Three new starters were penciled in for that Maryland game. You mentioned Sam Garvin, the sophomore walk-on center. He acquitted himself well. Of course, redshirt sophomore Mark Stickford went at left guard, Kyle. Then the right tackle was a redshirt freshman, Eric Miller. So, again, they did a good job. Purdue had a season-best 127 yards rushing. King Daru led the way once again. And nice to get a push up front for Purdue, get some semblance of a ground game. Because, Kyle, entering the contest, Purdue was second to the last in the nation and rushing, just averaging a bit over 50 yards per game. So you like to have balance. And again, if Purdue can keep some semblance of balance, they'll give that offense a fighting chance moving forward, trying to score points in some of these opposing venues, including, of course, Kinnick Stadium this Saturday.
I thought there was a couple instances where you saw some growth from Purdue, one of those being Jack Plummer taking that sack, the only one he took all day. At least half of that was probably on him, if not more than that, not being able to step up into the pocket and sort of getting rid of the ball. But he came right back the next play and threw a strike, hung out there in the pocket, threw a strike to David Bell for a touchdown. I guess, did you see some instances, too, where maybe not only he grew up, but Purdue grew up a little bit in that game on Saturday?
Yeah, he had a nice throwaway one time as well. This was his third start of his young career. He played most of the Minnesota game, which he didn't start. So we've seen action in largely four games. And, again, like you said, it's been a growth process. And you cited some instances there from Saturday where Plummer, I think, showed some growth. You know, Kyle, you can watch all the film you want. You can scrimmage all you want till you're in that ball game where the bodies are flying, coverages are changing, guys are coming at you. You really don't get a feel for how it's going to go. And Plummer's getting that experience. You know, he's seeing the live game reps, and I think things are probably slowing down for him. And, he's really benefited as well from getting the ball to his playmakers. I know that the list of injured receivers is a long one, but the guys playing, particularly David Bell, who we've talked about, really excelling. And Kyle, Bryce and Hopkins, not a freshman, a fifth-year senior, the tight end, re-announced. Again, he is alive and well, right? 10 catches, 140 yards, get the ball to Bryson Hopkins. Good things typically happen for Purdue.
I thought if you were watching Purdue for the first time on Saturday, you would have thought that Bell was a senior and not a freshman. There were a couple of things that he did that were senior-like moves early on in the game. I think it was on a third down, sort of when the game was still in the balance a little bit. You know, Bell up the right sideline, one-on-one, just gives that defensive back just a little hand to the hip there to create a little bit of separation and goes up and gets the football. That's a veteran-like move from a true freshman that I think, you know, aside just from the numbers that he puts up, 9 catches, 138, a couple of touchdowns, you know, shows you that he's got a little bit of veteran savvy and is a really good player already at this stage.
Oh, yeah. You know, came in with a lot of hype, of course. The Rivals.com number one player in the state of Indiana for the class of 2019. And remember this, Kyle, he's had to deal with some injury adversity. Had a hamstring issue in training camp that kept him out for a while. Then, of course, hurt his shoulder against TCU a few weeks ago. Jeff Brohm said after the game Saturday that that's still sort of bothering Bell to a degree, but he never complains, continues to work, continues to practice, and act like a pro and act more mature than his years would indicate. And again, we saw a lot of that maturity and that great skill set manifest itself in yet another great performance from David Bell. Just think, Kyle, when they get a full complement of receivers, Sheffield, Sparks, those guys back, I mean, who are you going to double team if your opponents? I think that's really what has fans excited. The Bell's doing this right now without a lot of great talent around him to deflect a lot of defensive attention.
Yeah, and, you know, props to Purdue for recognizing every time David Bell had one-on-one coverage. Seemed like for whatever reason Maryland decided to try to cover him man on third down was a tremendously bad idea because Purdue routinely found him. And, man, he on those 50-50 balls, it's more like 75-25, it feels like, to David Bell because he has a tendency to go get it. The offensive line was better. The opponent matters there, I think, a little bit, maybe significantly, but even still, I thought Purdue and its pass protection was better. Any idea the reason why?
Yeah, like you said, just one sack. He had 10 the week before. Plummer got battered and bruised in State College, PA. Again, I think the opponent was part of it. We talked off the air about the blitz pickup by the freshman running back, King DeRue. I think that's key as well, getting that extra block, that extra help in the backfield from when blitzers come unchecked. So, again, you know, and Purdue, I think, had a conscious effort to a degree to try to get the ball out quickly. And I think running the football, we talked about that earlier, Purdue had some success. Maryland had to respect the run, and when you're able to run the ball, you can't always pin your ears back and come after a quarterback.
All right, so the Purdue defense in the last six quarters has given up essentially 3 touchdowns. A fourth one there to Penn State came just a couple of minutes into the second quarter. That includes a second-half shutout against Maryland. Are you a believer yet in the Boilermaker defense?
I guess to a degree. I'd like to see another 60 minutes to become a full-fledged believer. The second half was really encouraging. Second half and a little some more at Penn State, and, of course, Saturday as well, pitching the shutout in the second half against Maryland. And they're doing this, again, obviously shorthanded without their two top tackles, Anthony Watts, Lorenzo Neal, of course, right up the middle. You're losing one of your linebackers too, Marcus Bailey. So, and we talked about Cornell Jones being out Saturday. So they did all that Saturday without some of their best players. So, again, that's positive. And, again, it's a good step. But they still have things to prove, I think, from a playmaking standpoint. We're seeing them get some turnovers, Kyle. You saw the pick six, a couple INTs as well. So they're making a lot of strides, and they can make some more against Iowa on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess that fourth touchdown actually came in the seventh quarter going back, right, a couple of minutes in. So, you know, maybe extend it out even a little bit more that Purdue has played pretty well defensively. Any chance that Purdue gets anyone back for the game at Iowa on Saturday?
We'll have to see. Not sure. Well, You know, we've heard about Cornell Jones and Branson Dean right before the game. We'll find out more about their long-term status. Anthony Watts, don't think we'll see him. Lorenzo Neal, probably not. You know, offensively, the receivers, it sounds like Sheffield's probably still going to be out a while. That was the indication Brom gave us a week or so ago that it was going to be an extended process for Sheffield. Jared Sparks, maybe we get Sparks back this week with the ankle injury. He's been out, I think, 3 weeks now. And maybe that's a guy that gets added to the mix. Xander Horvath, of course, missed Saturday. He had his left thigh wrapped when I saw him last week. Didn't look like anything serious. Maybe he gets back in the mix. So we'll have to find out more today and then follow up on Thursday with Coach Brom to get some updates on those injured players.
All right, Tom. Sounds good. We'll look for your report a little bit later here on goldenblack.com.
Dick, thank you, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get Brian's perspective on the game. We'll talk to him a little bit about football recruiting as well. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit about Purdue's victory against Maryland. We'll hit on some football recruiting as well as Purdue picks up two commitments, one expected, one not so much over the weekend, and maybe take a glance ahead at Iowa as well. All right, a big day for freshman Brian at Purdue on Saturday, a pretty impressive performance by the Boilermakers. I think not just beating Maryland, but doing so in the fashion that Purdue did with the players that it did. What stood out to you?
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job offensively. Perhaps not the biggest part of it. I thought they did a good job scheming around, you know, the offensive line, helping the offensive line a little bit in terms of what they were doing before the snap, in terms of the play calling, in terms of getting the ball out quick, kind of things like that. Obviously, the offensive line has been a kind of a lightning rod this season, and for good reason. But I thought that Purdue did one of its best jobs this season scheming to help the offensive line. I thought what they did from a pre-snap motion perspective, I thought was probably pretty effective in getting Maryland to not be as north-south focused in terms of just getting after the quarterback. I thought the threat of the jet sweep to Jackson Anthrop kind of got Maryland probably thinking east-west a little bit more, maybe took away a little bit of their aggressiveness. I just thought Purdue did a good job getting the ball out on short drops oftentimes. Obviously, they found a weakness in Maryland's defense and exploited it for all it was worth, and I just thought Purdue had one of its best offensive game plans of the year. And, you know, I think you're probably at a place now where – you have a little bit of continuity in personnel. Obviously, it's not your ideal personnel, but I think you've been able to practice now for a couple of weeks at least with Jack Plummer, quarterback, with David Bell as your, I guess we would say, their number one receiver. You know, obviously the offensive line has been in transition, but I think Purdue just kind of looked settled in with what it has offensively, and obviously – sometime during the Penn State game, it sure looks like the defense figured something out and carried that from one game to another. So just obviously the opponent matters here. Maryland is not Penn State. Maryland is not Iowa. But regardless, Purdue is in a really difficult spot still. And for them to play as well as they did, period, I think really kind of said something.
Yeah, I agree with you on a lot of the pre-snap recognition, you know, especially considering so many of those guys, you know, are freshmen and redshirt freshmen. You have a young center making his first start. And I know, you know, Plummer's getting a little bit of help from the sideline, but the recognition of, you know, David Bell being in one-on-one coverage often on third down and why Maryland didn't do anything to change its defense is beyond me. But it didn't. And, you know, Plummer's recognition of that and to be able to get the ball repeatedly to him in a position to convert those third downs is pretty impressive, I think, for, you know, a couple of young players out there.
Yeah, 13 of 13, Purdue was passing between 0 and 9 yards right over the middle. That slant was open all day long. Obviously, I think Maryland was playing with the one deep safety kind of. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the game again, which I haven't done, to see exactly what they were doing schematically that allowed for that to that allowed all those opportunities for Purdue. But Purdue found something and Maryland never took it away, and Purdue kept going to it, to their credit.
I think you said it during the game, it was sort of newcomer day a little bit, at least in terms of, you know, going even deeper into the depth chart, and those guys appeared to be ready to play for Purdue. I mean, Kali Saunders, Jeff Marks got out there a little bit. Sam Garvin played center. There are probably others as well. I mean, it's, you know, good on those guys and good on Purdue's coaching staff to have those guys ready to go at this point in the season when, you know, again, you lose a couple of more guys during the week going into the game that you anticipate having.
Right. A couple others. Dejon Hewitt at running back, Samisi Fakasiki at defensive end as well.
Yeah.
These are guys who are either setting foot on the field for the very first time or guys who are playing, at least from scrimmage, for the very first time this season, in not just in a meaningful role, but at all. And it's week six. And, I mean, it's just – it can't be easy to be in this position when you're preparing for a game with a team that you are not preparing to go into the season with. You are getting guys ready on the fly. I know these guys have been practicing all along, but I think there's a little bit of a difference between just practicing and practicing to play, actually preparing for an opponent. And, you know, Purdue is taking red shirts off guys. They're moving guys who open the season on your third or even fourth team in some cases up to the first team during the Big Ten season, and you just won a Big Ten game with a bunch of guys who hadn't seen a meaningful snap all year long. I mean, what Purdue has dealt with this year from an injury perspective is unprecedented, I'm sure, in program history.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep losing all these guys and not really feel it. Obviously, Purdue has really felt it, or else they wouldn't have been 1-4 coming into the game the other day. But it's just extraordinary what this team has dealt with this year. And to play as well as they did on Saturday under those circumstances, no matter the caliber of the opponent, really said something.
We react to these things on a week-by-week and maybe a moment-by-moment basis. It's sort of the nature of sports these days. So a week ago, Purdue was really bad. Today, it's better. What do you think we'll see at this time next week coming off the game against Iowa?
Well, Purdue's put 7 pretty solid quarters together here in a row. You know, obviously, I don't think this team's ceiling is sky high for obvious reasons. I mean, you don't have the bodies. You don't have the known commodity personnel like you might have a couple of weeks ago. And you do still have some real concerns with this team at the line of scrimmage. Part of that's injury. Part of that was just the natural limitations this team was going to have this season, that you needed other parts of the game to cover up the other parts of the game, obviously having now been rendered shorthanded by injury. But I don't know how high this team's ceiling is, but they have put seven pretty solid quarters of football together. Going to Iowa, you know, Purdue has, for one reason or another, had Iowa's number here under Jeff Brohm. Whether or not they have the personnel now to continue to have their number, I don't know. Obviously, Iowa is pretty good, but Iowa has, you know, lost two pretty good teams here in a row. Iowa has struggled a little bit to score. Now they've struggled to score against Michigan and they've struggled to score against Penn State. If Purdue plays defensively like it's played the last seven quarters, you know, Purdue looks pretty solid defensively, but this will be a good test of whether that's Purdue's enduring reality or what. Iowa City is never an easy place to win. The fact that Purdue has the last couple years or its last time there really doesn't change that fact. So we'll kind of see what Purdue is now, probably more so than we did the last seven quarters of football.
Let's talk a little bit of recruiting. Purdue picks up a couple of commitments over the weekend, up to 19 now for the 2020 class. One of those on Friday, Malik Carr, was not surprising, though it does not make it any less impactful, certainly. And then Purdue gets a commitment from Nalen Fox, the offensive lineman, on Sunday. Let's start with Carr. Obviously, this is a big get for Purdue, a guy who had a lot of offers, including one from his other finalist in Georgia. Purdue has impactful wide receivers already right now on the roster, and Bell and Wright and Moore and maybe some others there who have yet to come to the forefront. But Carr's a little bit different, too. I mean, he is a big, fast outside receiver, right?
Yeah. He is – the last time I saw him, he was probably 235 to 240 pounds. Now, whether that's his ideal – playing weight, I don't know. He might be a guy who gets down to 225 at some point, and it's a pretty well put together 225. Now, he's not he is gigantic for a wide receiver. He's fast for his size. I wouldn't say he's Rondell Moore, but he is a guy who has really uncommon dimensions for his position. That's the reason a lot of people recruited him as a tight end. Now Purdue is going to give him every chance to play wide receiver. He's coming to Purdue as a wide receiver, and that's part of the reason Purdue got him. And he is going to add a really uncommon, I keep using that word, a really uncommon dimension to Purdue's receiver room. When you look at what they're going to have in that room next year, they're going to have this 6'4", 230-pound basketball player who's a really unique athlete for his size. You're going to have Rondell Moore, who's obviously one of the most talented and physically impressive players in all of college football. You have David Bell, who's going to be a star. You have Milton Wright, who's going to be a very, very good college player. You have Ahmad Anderson, who has had a very good redshirt freshman season for Purdue under the circumstances. You're still going to have Jared Sparks back. You're going to have TJ Sheffield, presumably coming out of a redshirt. Nobody's talking about Mershon Rice because he was in a position to play last week and he got hurt too. You're just going to have this really, really stacked wide receiver room next year and just unbelievable competition. And what this speaks to is obviously Purdue's offensive reputation, but obviously Purdue showing that when we tell you when you're a really high-end recruit and we tell you you're going to come in and make an impact right away, on guys like that, they are now 3 for 3 because everything they told Rondell Moore would happen has happened and then some. Everything they told George Karloftis would happen has happened and then some. And everything they told David Bell would happen has happened and then some. Milton Wright has had some success as well. Purdue has just done a really good job recruiting really, really good players, putting them in position to be successful right away. And that is what they will try to do also again here next year with Malik Carr.
Just a couple of minutes here with Fox, obviously an offensive lineman. Purdue wanted another one in this class, and it went out and got the offensive tackle to flip from Toledo.
Yeah, they needed another offensive tackle for this class. That's four offensive linemen now. Whether that's it or not, I don't know, because Purdue, with whatever scholarship space they have left, and I have no idea how that works, that's a position where they're obviously going to look for grad transfers. They're going to look for potentially a junior college player or two. But, you know, the story of Purdue's offensive line recruiting for 2020 is in part going to be told by whether or not they can find an instant impact guy for next year too, because that is one of the positions.
Yeah.
Clearly, that defensive tackle, linebacker are really your three positions where if a transfer of any kind, whether it be junior college, traditional transfer, or graduate transfer comes up, that they're all ears because they could use some help with those positions starting in the spring.
Right. All right. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
Much more on the site, recruiting, reaction from Maryland, and starting to look ahead toward Iowa as well at goldandblack.com. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, Sixth Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
More on the site, including breakdowns of the two commitments a little bit later on this afternoon. Notes from Jeff Brohm's Monday press conference as Purdue starts to ready for its road trip to Iowa on Saturday. Speaking of which, we'll have pregame podcast that drops at 11 o'clock on Friday. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. As always, thanks to our sponsors. Be sure to check them out, including East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at Remaxability Plus, along with Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Tom Dienhart and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.